Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Really excited for yet another episode of footballing goodness this week. It's Jack Reeve joined alongside Mark Langdon. Mark, I think you were in a mixed kind of feeling of excited and nervous last week. How are you coming into this week?
Well, I don't know if you can hear it from my throat. I don't know if I've survived that 2-2 draw at the Emirates quite as well as... I sound a bit like Ange now, don't I? I think I'm trying to go full Postecoglou by getting his sort of gruff voice as well. It was a good game. Tottenham played better than I expected them to, particularly after a very nervous opening kind of half an hour or so. And by the end, I thought they fully deserved their point. And it was just looking on sort of with jealousy, really, that they weren't still involved in the Carabao Cup, because the draw's really opened up, hasn't it, after an interesting midweek where, you know, the fact that Man City have gone out. Whenever Man City are in a competition, you just go, oh, well, they'll probably win that. As soon as they go out, it just makes it so much more interesting.
It does. It was a brilliant win for Newcastle, Mark, wasn't it? I think lots of people coming into this season expected a slight drop-off from Newcastle with their European duties now, but seemingly not the case.
I think it's a bit early to say that. I mean, both teams made a lot of changes for the game on Wednesday. The fact that Pep sort of didn't turn to Erling Haaland maybe suggested that it wasn't that big a deal maybe for them, the Carabao Cup, which is different to usual. But the quarterfinal would have clashed with the World Club Cup semi-final, wouldn't it? So maybe they felt that the quad wasn't achievable anyway in terms of the League Cup, so they're going to try and win that one. But, you know, I don't want to take too much away from Newcastle, because they made 10 changes themselves, and you know, it's never easy to beat Manchester City, and the fact they kept a clean sheet, bodes well for them. Obviously, fresh Sheffield United on Sunday, wasn't it? So, I suppose it's now really that had a nice little break, didn't they? Tuesday to Sunday to Wednesday. Now it quickens up, because now you go from Wednesday playing again Saturday, then Paris Saint-Germain on Wednesday. So, you know, let's see where they are sort of after the end of the Champions League group stage, I suppose.
Liverpool now 3-1 favourites to go on and win the tournament. It was a really interesting draw. You've got a couple of funny ties, and they've got Mansfield against Port Vale. Exeter will be facing Borough. Ipswich Town against Fulham. So I guess for the lesser teams, I put in quotation marks, sorry to all Port Vale fans, potentially a nice chance to kind of progress. Do you think Liverpool are rightful favourites now?
Yeah, I mean, Bournemouth away is not a gimme, but it's a game they should win. I suppose the one team I haven't mentioned really is Chelsea there, because, you know, came through what looked like a difficult game on paper against Brighton. Now they've got Blackburn at home. They will expect to win that game. And then you're in, you know, hopefully, you know, from a Chelsea point of view, if you're looking at it from their point of view, being a quarter final, that might just help Pochettino, you know, because you want something, you know, the Premier League form sort of stinking the place out right now. If you can kind of keep making progress in the League Cup, then that, I think, shows signs that things heading in the right direction. And another team that I would also say that for would be Everton. He came for a really difficult game away at Aston Villa. Now, Sean Dyche takes on Burnley. I mean, he'll face a Burnley team that plays very different football to when he was in charge. But again, it's a home game for them. And how a season can just be inspired by a cup run. I don't mean in terms of your league form will pick up. I just mean in terms of the mood around the place. Like, still being in a cup, just... As a fan of a team, and Jack, I'm sure you felt it as well. Just when it's something to look forward to, isn't it? Outside of the league, you know. So, I think from Everton's point of view, that was a really important victory for them, a really nice win for them to, you know, just a rare bright spot, isn't it, for them? And now they'll look forward and think, you know, we're one game away here from a quarter final. And you get into the quarterfinals, you maybe draw Mansfield or Port Vale.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you're in the semi-finals, and then who knows what's going to happen. That's what a fan does, isn't it? And that's why it's important, I mean, to try to stay in the cups.
Before we get on to previewing this weekend's Premier League action, a quick word on Ipswich Town. I know we'll be getting the EFL thoughts from Dan Childs later on in the show. You were very sweet on Ipswich at the start of the season, going very well in the league, a 3-2 win against Wolves midweek in the Cup. I mean, in terms of kind of hot property, Kieran McKenna must be at the top of the list in terms of up-and-coming managers at the moment.
Yeah, I was speaking to an Ipswich fan yesterday, actually, about kind of, you know, obviously not a friend of yours, Jack, but I was speaking to him and just sort of saying, you know, where would McKenna go? Because that's his big fear.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of team would Kieran McKenna sort of want and they want him? And we were struggling to work out where that level kind of was. Now, you know, if West Ham went bad, for David Moyes, you know, he's been, would that be sort of a kind of logical next step for McKenna, that type of Premier League team? Because there's no point in taking a team that's right at the bottom of the league, you know, and likely to go down. Because, I mean, you may as well stay at Ipswich. It's finding a team, and you know, let's be realistic. You know, if Chelsea did sack Pochettino, they're not going to go for Kieran McKenna. Yeah, Manchester United got rid of Ten Hag. You know, they're not going for him. Newcastle are not going for him. So it's probably only a small sort of amount of teams that would kind of be attracted to McKenna that would also be attracted to him, if that makes sense. So, you know, would you really spot Everton? Let's say Dyche, you know, it goes wrong for Dyche, Everton. Like, you know, the ownership's all over the place. You know, they haven't got much money. It's a big club, but, you know, do you really fancy turning it around? You know, someone like Bournemouth have shown ambition in the point in Iriola. If that doesn't work out, you know, could they look at Kieran McKenna? Would he want to go to Bournemouth? Is that a big enough step up? So I'm sort of talking myself around and thinking that actually, you know, he stays, the team stays together, that there are a couple of very good teams in the Championship that they'll be fighting against. But I see no reason why they won't be in the promotion picture come the end of the season, as long as McKenna stays. It does make you wonder, like, why Solskjaer didn't maybe give him more responsibility when they were working together.
There we go. Ipswich Town going worryingly well. Time to get on to the big match this weekend. Yeah, we're going to be taking a look at Tottenham against Liverpool. Tottenham 21-10, 6-5 Liverpool, 3-1 the draw. This one, 5:30 on Saturday. Mark, you must have been really impressed with what you saw in that North London derby. An edge to kind of Spurs that I don't think we've seen in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I was. I mean, you can't go overboard because, you know, it's only a point, a good one against a team that, you know, might be City's closest challengers, certainly were last season. And maybe, you know, on another day, you know, if Gabriel Jesus scores that chance to make it 2-0, which he really should have done, then maybe, you know, we say, oh, same old Tottenham, blah, blah, blah. But Gabriel Jesus didn't score that opportunity. And from that moment, really, Tottenham grew into the game. And I thought they were the better side, really, in the last hour. A lot of standout performances. Bissouma in midfield. I mean, you know, he just embarrasses Antonio Conte week after week, given that Conte didn't think he was good enough, and he's absolutely running the show in midfield. Madison, I think most people felt like it was a good signing, but you never quite know, but just continues to deliver. You know, Son's got 5 goals now this season, so they're not, in theory, missing Harry Kane. I still think that, you know, you'd rather have Harry Kane in the team. And then a couple of the younger guys at the back, Van de Ven, looks like a tank, and Udogi had a very difficult start up against Saka. By the end of the game, he kind of snuffed that threat out. So a young team that's still got a lot of progress potentially to make. We'll still need to make that progress as well. But I thought it was a really positive performance from Tottenham. And, you know, even if they maybe would have conceded late on in that 10 minutes of injury time, even if they would have lost, you could have said, yeah, they lost, but I can see where they're going. And I don't mean that was the case under Conte, Mourinho or Nuno, or even the end of the Pochettino era. So I think that's where the kind of positive vibes come from a Spurs point of view, that even though results haven't been like terrible in recent years, the performances and just kind of where they're going, and it just looked like a lost team. And for Postecoglou to change that in what, 6 league games, is a pretty remarkable job, I think.
Just a quick word on Maddison, Mark. I was thinking about him the other day. I'm struggling to think of another player who's got their career kind of trajectory as spot on as him. Coventry moves to Norwich City, not really getting played there, chooses himself to go out on loan to Aberdeen, good grounding, comes back, smashes the Championship with Norwich, good Premier League move to Leicester, gets a grounding there, and now steps up again to Spurs. And he's just constantly kind of, there's clearly an arrogance about him. And I don't even say that in kind of a bad way. There's a kind of a cockiness and a confidence in his ability, but he's just stepped up wherever he's gone, and he's continuing to do that now.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely confident. And I think you need to be like that if you're like the number 10, and you know, you want to take the responsibility of driving the team forward, and you need confidence to be able to do that, because you're trying the difficult things. They don't always work out. I mean, his connection with the fans would almost be like he's been there a couple of years. And I don't know what it was like at Norwich and Leicester, but at Tottenham, he's always posting pictures of his kids in sort of, you know, Tottenham kits, or, you know, saying, come on, you Spurs. And yeah, he's become like a leader in the dressing room, which I don't think people thought that they were getting. I think they thought, you'll get the tricks, you'll get a lovely free kick, you know, he's got a pass in him. But actually, sort of taken on like that Harry Kane kind of void, really, of, you know, everything's going to be all right, we're a big team. You know, he, even when Saka did that celebration, the dart celebration, you know, he then mocked him on Spurs TV afterwards, saying, yeah, was he still doing it when I did him for the first goal? And, you know, that just plays really well with the supporters. And he's got it down to a T at the moment. Already had a couple of injuries. And I think that's the concern for Maddison, because, if he goes out of that Tottenham team, they haven't really got a like-for-like replacement, unless Lo Celso suddenly turns up in his Argentina form, which we just barely seen really at Spurs.
Quick word on Liverpool before we get your best bet for this one, Mark. I mean, just continuing to kind of stride on, the front three looking really promising, seem like they've solidified that midfield a little bit. And listening to Jurgen Klopp after their win in the cup on Wednesday evening, like, clearly still not overly happy with the performances he's seeing, but at the moment working and trending in the right direction.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, looking like City's closest title challengers at the moment. Who knows? They've got some hard games coming up. This is one of them. And got Brighton as well. Szoboszlai, I mean, what a goal that was against Leicester. You know, a stunning strike. Just reading some stuff from Liverpool fans, have been so impressed with the way that he settled in, probably quicker than McAllister. But that McAllister, Jones, Szoboszlai midfield just ripped up what they had last season and brought fresh energy to the team. I think you do worry about them defensively, because they are still conceding, you know, too many chances and certainly too many goals anyway. But you spoke about Maddison's confidence. There's a confidence with Liverpool that doesn't really matter if we concede. We're so good going forward that we're just going to cut through you. So I'm not that surprised that Liverpool have turned the corner and been better. They needed to rip up the midfield. They have. And more often than not, you know, they have been, you know, they've had a couple of down years under Jurgen Klopp, but in their good years, they've been very good. And this looked like being one of those, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Well, positive remarks on both sides here. Where's your money line for this?
Yeah, I'm going to go Tottenham or draw double chance, really, for this game. It looks a tough match for both teams. You know, they've Liverpool have won every game since that opening draw at Chelsea, but Tottenham also unbeaten. They passed a very difficult test at Arsenal last week. I didn't think Liverpool were great at Wolves in that 3-1 win. You know, they're 1-0 down. It might have been worse before they recovered in the second half. So it just at the prices, feels like a difficult game for Liverpool, and one where I wouldn't be mad sort of to, you know, to madly in love to sort of rush in to back them at 6-5 to win the game.
Okay, great stuff. Let's get through the rest of the Premier League card. Plenty of Saturday 3 o'clock games this week. So for the purists, I'm sure you're absolutely delighted. It's going to be a bumper match of the day. Of course, we've got the Ryder Cup this weekend, which I'm very much looking forward to. I'm sure Mark will be tuned in at some point as well. We'll start with the early game on Saturday. It's Aston Villa against Brighton. Sort of reading from Villa fans, Mark, you know, really happy with Unai Emery and leadership. But his record in cup competitions is just astonishingly bad, considering how good they've been in the league.
Yeah. I mean, with a big guy knocked out by Stevenage, and they lost to Legia Warsaw, and you know, now they're out of the cup at home to Everton. I think you do risk damaging kind of that feel-good factor that's there if you keep on losing these games. I suppose they've just won at Chelsea. I found their league form a bit inconsistent at the moment because, yeah, they have put in some stinkers at Newcastle and at Liverpool. Difficult away games, but ones where, you know, we spoke, didn't we, earlier on about Tottenham kind of passing a test, I suppose, Arsenal away. Aston Villa will feel like they've done that against Chelsea, but it was against 10 men. This is going to be a difficult game against Brighton. I know Brighton went out of the cup, but, I mean, they're so good on the sort of expected goals, and Aston Villa are not great in that metric, and that's why Brighton are not far off being favourites. I'm going to go against the market here. I'm going to go under 3.5 goals. I just think that, you know, I know that Brighton's games have been crazy full of goals, and, you know, De Zerbi does play in a very attack-minded way. But the goal line, you know, most goal lines are sort of over under 2.5, moved up to 3.5 for this game. So I haven't got any major stats to back it up. But it just feels like that there's been an overreaction to what's happened previously. And I just feel like, you know, you've got to play the sensible option here, which is to go under 3.5. Because although Brighton have made it look easy, it's not that easy to score goals in football. So, yeah, they're... Let's sort of go against the tide with that one.
It's interesting you say that, Mark. How much of your kind of betting is based off of feel, and how much is based off of like hard kind of data numbers stuff?
I think what happens is, you know, the data these days, the data is reflected in a lot of the prices. Yeah. So you can still get an edge from data, but I think, you know, everybody can see that Brighton's games are really high on expected goals, and that is now reflected in the market. And my sort of way, I think really with Brighton here, you either don't have a bet in sort of the goals market or you go under, because the bookmakers are fully aware of what's happened previously. So it just feels to me like the type of game where Emery might sit back against Brighton and be more pragmatic because, you know, that is probably the best way to beat Brighton, is to let them have the ball and then try and counter them.
Yeah, let's take a look at the next one then. Bournemouth against Arsenal. Again, listening to Arteta in his post-match after their winning the cup, just, I'm not sure if it's just Arteta's kind of demeanour. It just feels very angry at the moment.
He is angry. And I'm not really... angry. He's an angry chap. I don't know why. He just feels very frustrated.
Yeah,
he's going bonkers on the touchline on Sunday in the North London derby. I thought he was going to come on and slide tackle Kulusevski at one stage. I mean, he was right on the touchline, way outside his box. Arsenal should win this game, but the way I'm going to play it, just for a single bet, is for Dominic Solanke to score any time. On target again in midweek, got 3 league goals already. I would just say Bournemouth have had a very difficult start. West Ham, Liverpool, Tottenham, Brentford, Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal. I mean, and they've got Liverpool in the next round of the League Cup. I mean, you know, let's give their new manager, Iraola, a bit of a break and see where they are in, say, another 10 matches time. But yeah, Solanke was somebody, if you remember, when he was coming through, was seen as absolutely top quality. Yeah. You know, Chelsea and Liverpool, and it's maybe taken him longer to kind of make his way towards the top. I think he's getting there, though. And, you know, I was looking at sort of Arsenal to win and both teams to score, and then thought, well, if Bournemouth score, likely to be Solanke, really. So, why, you know, let's just take everything out of the equation and just go for him to score.
Yeah, it was a lovely taking goal in the week, wasn't it? Let's take a look at Everton against Luton. Luton off the mark. That will feel nice. Always good to have a point on the board at some stage. How do you see this one going?
I'm going to go for draw half-time, Everton full-time in the double result market. I can see Luton making it difficult for Everton, but maybe, and you don't often say this, I suppose, about Everton, but they have got that quality advantage and actually attacked quite well against Brentford in terms of, you know, looking a threat. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's back as well, isn't he? So, I would say, though, Luton, and, you know, and there are loads of jokes about how bad they are on social media. The betting market actually has them much more competitive than kind of, I suppose, you know, the normal person in the street. You know, they were well backed against Wolves and actually were favourites in play even before the red card last week.
Wow. Okay. I mentioned Carlton Morris as well. I think with not too much service is leading that line pretty well. Let's take a look at Manchester United against Crystal Palace. What better way to try and recover from defeat than to go again the second time this week these two sides have faced off. Will it be the same outcome in the league?
I don't think so. You know, if you like your head-to-head form, then you know, this is the one for you. I'm going to go for Crystal Palace plus one on the Asian handicap. So you get your money back if Palace lose by one goal. And Roy Hodgson resting Anderson, Gaye and Eze for that trip in midweek. I mean, what's the point in that? I mean, yeah, there's enough bad teams down there in the Premier League this season. The Palace, I don't think, are going to get relegated.
You just can't risk it though, Mark, can you?
Yeah, but would you get relegated if you win the game? Oh, you know, come on. You know, give the fans something to get excited about. I mean, is relegation even that bad? You know, I mean, like, you know, is it worth giving up hope in trying to win a cup tie? I just thought it was, not great.
Are you kind of getting your frustration with Spurs out and passing it on to Hodgson in terms of poor cup form here?
No, because I think in terms of Postecoglou, he picked a team that was still probably good enough to win that game. You have a look at the list. I mean, you know, if you're playing Højbjerg and Oliver Skip, these people need to play at some time, don't they? And he still had enough strength, I think, to have won that game at Fulham. Just so happens they drew and then lost a penalty shootout. I mean, Anderson, Gaye and Eze, I mean, that is Crystal Palace.
I must say, I do understand it. I think you cannot be, if you're, you know, a club like Palace, and I'll throw kind of Norwich into a simple bracket where we're in the, you just can't risk relegation. It is so vital, that Premier League income now.
But how much more are you likely to get relegated if you win a cup tie?
Let's say two of those, you know, go off with long-term injuries in that game. I mean, it suddenly does increase your chances of relegation by, you know, quite significantly, I think.
They could get injured in training. I mean, Perisic did his ACL in training last week for Spurs. I mean, you know, you can get injured at any time. I just think, you know,
you're a purist. I appreciate.
Come on, have a go.
Okay, they're not going to get beaten as much, but still might get beaten this weekend. Let's take a look at Newcastle against Burnley. I mean, Newcastle that game last week, Mark. Against Sheffield, just, you know, relentless. I'm not sure how much it was Newcastle being brilliant or Sheffield United just being woeful. But Burnley will be coming into this slightly fearful, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Newcastle to win and both teams to score. PSG await Newcastle in midweek. They play Man City on Wednesday. I know there was a lot of changes, but it would make me nervous. You know, Newcastle need to make sure that they're focused on this game because I think it's easy to get distracted by what's to come. And Burnley, I think, will have a go. They've had a go in every game so far. Andouni and is it Kalesho on the wings? I hope I pronounced that right. Look, big threats. Yeah. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was kind of saying that I feared for Burnley and I just wondered whether the team was good enough, and I still have those concerns, particularly with the way that they're trying to play. It doesn't make them vulnerable, but you know, those two in the wider positions are you know, can definitely carry the ball forward for Burnley. And like I say, I think they'll just keep sort of attacking Newcastle. That probably suits Newcastle to win the game, but might not be as easy as the odds suggest. You know, Newcastle were, you know, really really short price, aren't they, to win the game?
Yeah, they are indeed. Let's take a look at West Ham against Sheffield United. Just mentioned there, Mark, Sheffield United. it's difficult, isn't it, with these huge defeats, because we've seen so often in the past that can be, you know, maybe not a turning point, but something that just wakes you up slightly to the situation at hand. Do you think that will be the case here?
To an extent, I'm going to go for West Ham to win and under 3.5 goals. I mean, this isn't the type of game that suits West Ham, is it? They prefer to play on the counter-attack. Saw that in midweek when they beat Lincoln to set up that tie they've got now against Arsenal. It was a struggle for them. And I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of ground it out without being spectacular. Sheffield United have got to go back to basics and just defend and be resolute, all those kind of cliche things. And I'd seen them the week earlier, and they were, absolutely up to, you know, I suppose, being competitive against Tottenham. So, you know, why can't they be again? I just think it was a bit of a freak.
Okay, let's take a look at Wolves against Manchester City. How are you playing this?
Oh, I mean, Man City bounced back strongly from their cup defeat. City minus one was the way I was going. This is the second of four straight away games. So, that's not ideal from a calendar point of view. But, you know, they've won easily enough at West Ham. They beat Burnley by a wide margin. Sheffield United was only 2-1, but not sure that was a true reflection. They missed a penalty. And I think if they play that game again, they'll win by more than one goal. Wolves, again, they seem to have a hard game every week. Quickly off the back of, the Liverpool in the last home game, wasn't it? Now got Man City. Yeah, I just think that Man City will beat them convincingly.
Not much enthusiasm in your voice with that game.
Man City just from a betting point of view, Man City are just, it's so hard because they're so good and they're such short odds. Like, you know, you're just waiting for the time to oppose them. I don't see this as the ideal one.
Whenever I see that, you know, the Manchester City game on the run order, I'm trying to think of new ways to dress it up, and I'm just struggling. It's just, you know,
and their fans then get annoyed because you don't talk about them that much.
There's nothing new to say. Yeah,
it's true. It's true.
Exactly. Just the one game on the Sunday, Nottingham Forest against Brentford. I mean, Nottingham Forest kind of transfer policy is remarkable and scattergun, I would say. But actually, in terms of, you know, translating onto on-pitch performances, it's going relatively well.
I think Nottingham Forest, what they're doing well is being very competitive in their games this season. You have a look at sort of from an Asian handicap point of view. If you back them on the Asian handicap in every game so far, you would only lost once, and that would have been sort of against Burnley in the draw. So, yeah, they're going very well. Brentford without Tony, starting to fear a little bit for them. Their only win was against 10-man Fulham. I'm going to go for Nottingham Forest, draw no bet in this game.
Okay. You're Brentford's biggest kind of supporters. I'm surprised to hear you were not, you know, posing for the entire season.
Yeah, well, I just think, you know, obviously Tony's...
Got Thomas Frank, have you?
No, nothing really anti-Thomas Frank. See, Rico Henry's been injured. Ivan Toney's suspended. I don't know. Just recent performances have just left something to be desired, I think. Changing the goalkeeper hasn't yet worked out for them. It just feels... Ben Mee was missing last week as well, wasn't he? I don't know. There's just something there. I'm just not, you know, Brentford are favourites to win at the City Ground, and I can avoid them as favourites.
Yeah, fair enough. Monday night football, Fulham against Chelsea. On Wednesday evening, Mark, I was coming home from the... I'd been to Fulham against Norwich City, unfortunately knocked out in the Carabao Cup.
You'll be pleased. You're out of the cup. You haven't got another...
That's true, actually. Yeah,
less injuries, well done.
Less injury worries, yeah. Anti-cup. our Uber driver was a Chelsea fan, and I've never seen someone so happy to have kind of scraped past in a Carabao Cup match. I mean, the sense of relief from this man, it was like they just won the FA Cup. I mean, yeah.
Needed to win.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely needed to win. First half, Brighton should have been in front, didn't get in front, and you know that they just needed to win. And Pochettino needed to win, the players needed to win, particularly against Brighton, because I mean, you know, Brighton have, you've been mocking them, haven't they? The supporters have been mocking them, and I think probably just the club is just, you know, not in an outright kind of way, but just every time they play well and win, and Chelsea don't win. You just won. You can just sort of imagine in the boardroom them absolutely laughing their heads off at kind of, you know, what they've managed to do. So they didn't need to win because this is a awkward derby. You know, Fulham, biggest game of the season, Chelsea at home. Chelsea, if they lose this game as well, I mean, I don't think they'll sack Pochettino soon, but it just makes it so, like, you know, downbeat, doesn't it? They've got injuries, they've got suspensions. I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals. You know, Chelsea games have just not been very high scoring because they haven't really got anyone to finish off their chances. And Jackson suspended for this game as well after picking up five yellow cards. Remarkable effort to get five yellow cards. Shows the frustration. Fulham are a team without Mitrovic that I don't see them as much of an attacking threat these days, but they are well organised under Marco Silva. London derby, Chelsea sort of happy to win any which way, as the Uber driver was kind of alluding to there. So, yeah, I think it's just going to be scrappy. And under 2.5 goals was the way I was thinking.
OK, there's your Premier League card marked. Time to get through all things EFL with Dan Charles.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets.
Yeah, a really warm welcome back to Dan Childs, who's come on to Betts Club this year with ice in his veins. He's put up some good nuggets this season, Dan. You put a curse on Southampton last week. That continues. You bigged up Crawley. They're still going really well. Who's the team in focus this week?
I'm going to go with, there's probably plenty that I haven't got right, to be fair, Jack. But now this week we'll go with AFC Wimbledon, another League Two side. Similar to Crawley, actually, last season. They've only finished just above the relegation zone. They finished 5 points above the drop. Johnny Jackson, at the time, the manager, he'd been in charge for the whole of last season. And you kind of wondered, is he going to keep his job? He promised if he stayed there would be a complete revamp and they would be a lot stronger. And he's been true to his word. You know, they've done a lot of good recruitment over the summer. Entire new midfield coming. Armani Little coming in the centre. Josh Nerfill in the wide areas. James Tilly, another wide player, has been absolutely outstanding. He got 7 goals and 2 assists. And they have they've looked a different side, really, Wimbledon. They only lost one of their league games this season. Still yet to win at home, but they have won, I think they've won 3 away games, drawn 2, and they're up to 8th at the moment in the league. And I think I can see them sort of pushing for the playoffs. I had a look at the promotion betting in League 2. They're around 5-1 to go up. And I think there's a little bit more to come from certain areas of the team. They've got a striker, an Iraqi striker, Ali Al-Hamadi, who's made his debut for Iraq last month. And he got 10 goals in 19 games after signing from Wickham in January last season. Was doing fantastic, hence the interest from Barnsley. But he's had a slow start this season. And he got his first goal. They won 3-1 at Walsall last weekend. I think that'll kickstart him as well. So there's probably more to come from Wimbledon, and I think they'll push for promotion.
What's the key to kind of making sure these transitions with revamps go well, Dan? Because, you know, there's always a couple of teams in each division that have, you know, summers where there's a lot of churn in terms of on-field talent. And it either goes one of two ways. Obviously, it's going well at the moment, but, you know, so much is moving, so many moving parts. What's the key to getting that right?
It's your recruitment and knowing what system you want to go with. He sort of identified that he wants to go 4-4-2. I mean, key to that is that you need to have, you know, quick, effective wingers. He got that with Nerfield and Tilly. The midfielder, I didn't mention, Jake Reeves as well. Another, you know, he brought Jake Reeves and Armani Little, who are two high-quality centre midfield players. And if you're playing with a 4-4-2, with only two centre mids, you need high quality in those areas. Now, it's interesting, those two got injured at the same time after 4 or 5 games, and Wimbledon's form did actually drop off a little bit in those matches. And they both came back into the side for the game at Walsall and won the game 3-1. So it may be an issue that they might be a little bit of an issue with a lack of depth if they get injuries. But I do feel that if these key players stay fit, that I've mentioned, I think they're going to have a very good season.
There we go. Well, you've been pretty spot on with most of the teams in focus this season, Dan. So I'm hoping that continues. Let's move on to your best bets for this weekend across the EFL. What's your first?
I'm going to continue to have a downer on Southampton. I'm going to go with Leeds to win away to Southampton. I mean, you know, both come down from the Premier League. Both had a lot of sort of churn with players leaving and players coming in. Leeds, quite frankly, seem to be dealing with that a lot better than Southampton. They did have a bit of a slow start, Leeds. But you look at them now, they're unbeaten in six league games. Within that form, they've had a 4-3 win at Ipswich. I think that was the start of them turning things around, which you look back now, that looks like a great result. They've won 3-0 at Millwall, which is, you know, easier said than done, and won 3-0 at home to Watford last weekend. Watford were performing very well on the shot stats, I think I've mentioned before. And so to win that game 3-0 as convincingly as they did is a real good sign. Some of their players now are really coming to the fore. They had Wilfried Gnonto was injured last week, but they still looked a big threat up front with Jorginho. Rutter looks a real threat, man of the match, apparently, against Watford. Joel Peru has hit the ground running as well since coming in from Swansea, scoring plenty of goals. So I think they're going to have a good season. And they're the last team you want to face at the moment if you're Southampton on a four-match losing run. What does he do, Russell Martin? Does he you know, slightly adjust the style of play that he's so passionate about, this risky possession-based style? And at the moment, it's not working. They've took the lead at last weekend at Middlesbrough, who were on a bad run. You'd have thought scoring the first goal there would be massive, but they couldn't follow it through. You know, ended up losing the game 2-1. Apparently, Middlesbrough were worthy winners there. So, I mean, having lost to Middlesbrough, you'd have to think they're going to struggle against Leeds. Leeds for me.
Let's say Southampton lose their next couple. Is there a world where Russell Martin gets sacked?
Well, certainly if they lose the next couple, because then, you know, it's the timing of it as well, isn't it? Because then you're looking at, I think after the next two games is an international break again. So, you know, that's that would be when they would probably look at it again. You do feel that, you know, they'll want to give him time because they had obviously identified him as the right man to lead it forward and to change the style. But you have to question, you know, it's early days, but the thinking behind that, their defence was dreadful last season in the Premier League. And you do wonder whether it would have been made more sense to try and tighten up at the back than playing this, you know, expansive style. But, you know, time will tell.
Absolutely. Daniel Farke's Leeds United first on the slip for Dan Childs. Who's next?
I'm going to drop into League One. I'm going to go for Port Vale, draw no bet at home to Bolton. Port Vale fourth in the league, Bolton at seventh at the moment. Port Vale the home side, you're getting 11-10 on the draw no bet. Now, it might look a good bet just from the league positions and what I've mentioned, but I think also the timing of it is pretty good. Port Vale have been in great form really ever since they had that shocking start of the season where they lost 7-0 away to Barnsley. People were thinking then, probably including their own fans, you know, what's going to happen here? But they've actually responded amazingly, 17 points from 8 games. Had a great run in the EFL Cup as well. They're through to the fourth round, the last 16, and they've got a draw away to Mansfield in that. So they've got a great chance, Port Vale, of getting to the quarterfinals of a major cup competition. Everything is going really well. They made 9 changes as well. Shows the depth of the squad for the cup game against Sutton in the week that they won 2-1. So it shows they've got a bit of depth there. And I think the timing of this game is pretty good for them because Bolton dropped off a little bit of form recently. Had a 1-1 at home to Peterborough last weekend. Apparently Peterborough dominated that. Probably should have won the game. They lost Gethin Jones to a red card in that match, who's apparently, by all accounts, is a key defender for Bolton. Ricardo Santos, another key defender, is injured. So they've got a key suspension and an injury in the back three there for Bolton. You know, you worry about them for a tough away game. So Port Vale for me.
Okay, well, to continue their good form. And the third and final selection for this week, Dan.
Yeah, we'll drop into League Two. Bradford at home to Walsall. Just a straight home win here at a shade of odds on. Again, teams rely a lot on their best players. Bradford, there's no bigger player for them than Andy Cook, who got 28 goals in League Two last season. He had a spell on the sidelines and came back from injury, thrust straight into the starting lineup away to Newport last week, got a hat-trick. They won the game 4-1. He played again, Andy Cook, in the cup game, the EFL Cup game at home to Middlesbrough on Tuesday. They lost that game 2-0. Mark Hughes wisely took a decision to take him off with 20 minutes to go. But he sounds like he's going to be fit and firing for the weekend. Not just his goals, his hold-up play as well is really key to the way that Bradford like to play. So I think they're going to be transformed now going forward. And they're playing against a Walsall side that, a bit like Bolton, who I mentioned previously, got a few issues at the back at the moment. Priestley Farquharson got injured for them last weekend. Taylor Allen got a red card as well in their defeat. They lost 3-1 at home to Wimbledon last weekend. So Walsall have lost the 2 games in a row now. Few people out of the back, and they're facing a Bradford side with Andy Cook fit and firing. So Bradford for me.
Great stuff. Dan, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
Great stuff. Thanks to Dan, as always. Mark, let's get through some of your best bets for this weekend then. What's first up for you?
On the bet builder, so we're going to go for a non-live game actually this week in the Premier League, but Bournemouth against Arsenal. I'm expecting goals, so both teams to score. You know, Iraola wants Bournemouth to attack. I think Arsenal will enjoy the fact that Bournemouth will want to attack. So I'm going to go for that. We're going to go for Arsenal to win the game just because, well, they're much better than Bournemouth. They've got a few injuries at the moment, Arsenal. I think that's been overplayed, I have to say. I don't think you should get the violins out for
them.
Well,
I think it's Arteta setting that narrative, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, God, you know, we've got to bring on Jorginho. All right, well, you know, he's like, we've got to bring on Kai Havertz. Only cost 60 million and scored the Champions League goal in the final. I mean,
you've got a bit of fire in your belly today, Mark, haven't you?
Yeah, I think it's because I was delayed for quite a while this morning on the train, so it's been building up. So, Arsenal to win, both teams to score, and Solanke to have a shot on target. He's had a shot on target in his last three Premier League games, of course, scored in midweek as well. So, he's carrying that Bournemouth threat at the moment. Presuming it's going to be Raya that he'll be having the shot against, and you know, if he makes a save, maybe Aaron Ramsdale can do a cartwheel or something like that to celebrate this time around after the histrionics of his celebration with the Raya save on Sunday. So Arsenal to win, both teams to score, Solanke shot on target.
That was the other thing that in the Arteta interview, the interviewer had kind of said, like, it must be nice almost having two number ones. And he kind of lost his head with that, acting like the interview was being disrespectful. I was like, he's paying you a compliment here. Very strange.
I find the whole goalkeeping thing really intriguing, actually. I've gone off topic slightly, but, if you've bought David Raya to be the number one, I'd just make him the number one and just say he's the number, you know, and I don't see it as some big disgrace to Ramsdale. I have to say, I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago. He was doing basically the same thing to Leno, who's doing really well at Fulham. I mean, yeah. You know, these things happen. You improved the, you know, nobody was sort of moaning, you know, if you bring in when you bring in Timber maybe to replace somebody in the back four, nobody was moaning. I mean, yeah, if you bring in somebody you think is a better goalkeeper, what's the big deal?
Absolutely. No, I agree. Let's get treble for this weekend.
Yeah, so in the Premier League, West Ham to beat Sheffield United and Manchester City to beat Wolves. I think there's a class differential there with those two. And then the Championship for the third game, Southampton against Leeds. Southampton struggled. I watched their game. Don't ask me how. I watched their game on Saturday against Middlesbrough. I know that Russell Martin's a close pal of yours, Jack, and I will back him to get it right eventually, but difficult job for him at the moment. Leeds absolutely rampant when they're playing well. You look at their team on paper now, looks strong, particularly in the final third. Destroyed Watford on Saturday. So Leeds, West Ham and Manchester City for the treble this week.
You've got a nice, you've got Daniel Farker against Russell Martin. Of course, no love lost between those two. It was Daniel Farker that let go Russell Martin. I think I've potentially got the worst anti-post double of all time set in my
notes. Are you suggesting that Farker told Martin to Farker off?
There could well be. I mean, I'm not saying the headline's written for you, Mark, but it's that I've got Southampton to win the Championship in my anti-post and I've got Crawley to go down. I think it's probably time to rip that up already.
I mean, you'd always ask the bookmaker for money back for if it happens the other way round and Southampton get relegated and Crawley go up.
If you was on one bet this weekend, Mark, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, prices dictate bets. I didn't expect Nottingham Forest to be outsiders at home to Brentford. So I'm going to go for Nottingham Forest draw, no bet. You're right to say earlier on about the kind of overhaul of the team once again from Forest. But I looked down the list of the players and I like the look of their squad at the moment. I only have one, I would say, disappointing sort of performance and result, and that was the draw against Burnley. Now, that's why I've got the draw, no bet going for me in case they don't win. But yeah, I thought as outsiders, Nottingham Forest were worth a play. I know that most people will be watching the Ryder Cup on on Sunday, but at least keep the second screen free for events at the City Ground.
Yeah, you can always dual screen these things, can't you? Very much looking forward to a brilliant weekend of sport. What's the rest of the week got in store for you, Mark?
Oh, I'm at Spurs on Saturday for that crunch game against Liverpool. Looking forward to it. As a Spurs fan, I'm looking forward to it, but also, just from a football fan point of view, because Liverpool are a great team to watch as well. So, yeah, I was going to say it'd be worth the money. The tickets are really expensive for these Tier A, Category A games these days at Spurs, but hopefully it is worth the money.
I'm not sure if it's a London thing and they do it at Spurs, Mark. Have they got early bird kind of beer prices if you get to the ground early enough?
Not early bird prices, but the prices inside the stadium are very competitive. Under £6 a pint, which, as you'll know on your rare ventures into London, is very competitive.
Well, I couldn't believe it. At Craven Cottage, if you were there more than half an hour before kickoff, I got a pint of Camden Hells for £4.20. I mean, that's value if you've ever seen, isn't it?
I don't drink that beer because of its association to Arsenal, but I'd rather pour the £4.20 down the drain than drink that. But the theory is right. Yeah, the theory is right.
There we go. Thanks very much, as always, Mark. A big thanks to Dan, as always, too. We put up plenty of selections on this episode. Please only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. We'll be back again next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.